left and your right has some instructions on how we conduct our meetings and how we require you to conduct yourselves. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. As the chairman stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcasted on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony that is from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In addition, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant's supporters or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, our first public hearing is number 2017-7, The Villas First State Development, LLC.
This is a major subdivision for the creation of a standard subdivision. The plan's purpose is to subdivide 31.28 acres plus or minus into 28 single-family lots. The property is located on the southeast side of Benson Road, approximately 800 feet south of Jefferson Road, Route 38 in Ellendale. The tax parcel is District 230, Map 21, Parcel 14. The zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would note that this did go through our technical advisory committee, and we received comments from the engineering department, utility planning division, from the Sussex Conservation District, from the fire marshal, from DENREC, the Division of Fish and Wildlife, from Division of Air Quality. We received a letter from the Delaware Electric Co-op, and we also received a copy of their soil feasibility study from 2002. Staff would note that this was originally approved as Subdivision 2003-9. It has since expired and it was expunged. Thank you.
Okay. Would you have anyone here representing this application? Please state your name.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners. My name is Kevin Minnick and my address is 870 Greenwood Road, Greenwood, Delaware. I'm with the firm of Minnick Engineering and Land Planning, located in Camden, Delaware. And I've been asked to try and resurrect this project. It's been expunged and expired. We have submitted plans over to DENREC to get through their variance process to try and get the plans reapproved, because that's what they suggest that we do. Rather than said plans all the way back through, we're going through their variance process. Janelle kind of hit on some of them. You know, it's 28 lots. Originally, when the subdivision went back through, from what I understand, there was buffer requirements of 30 foot. One of the other things we have in our packet is a request for a variance on that buffer. The current regulations call for a 20-foot buffer around the entire perimeter. And I don't know, Janelle could jump in any time, but I think under the old regulations, it was 30 feet adjacent to the agricultural portions, not the interior of the whole subdivision. So what we would ask in our variance, and I have Matt Spongs here from Landscape Architectural, he could jump in too. We would like to just have it reapproved as was, you know, as it was back before when it was expired at 30 feet, to try and defray some of the cost of redesign on the whole thing. If you have to put the buffer in there 20 feet around the entire perimeter. This area. Instead of just around that portion.
That was my question.
So are you saying that the conditions changed or something?
Yeah, so I'll give a quick explanation. When this was first approved, I mean, this is a subdivision that was applied for in 2009, so it's, you know, 14 years old, I guess, at this point. But when it was first applied for, the buffer requirements at that point were 30 feet next to lands used for agricultural purposes. So, you know, if there had been a subdivision on the bottom where it says Carpenter William in 2003, there wouldn't have needed to be a buffer there because it wasn't next to ag lands. It changed maybe
2008.
Yeah, 2008 to require a 20-foot buffer around the entire perimeter of any subdivision. So, you know, if you applied today or any time in 2008 till now, you would have had to have a buffer that goes around the whole thing.
So you're saying that the buffer is where ag land is adjacent?
That's what it used to be.
Used to be.
And it was
mostly keep the people that were building
away from the ag.
Yeah.
And it was 20 and changed to?
No, it's 30.
Right.
Now there's a buffer that has nothing to do with the agricultural uses. It's just around the entire perimeter of 20 feet. And there's specifications on how many trees you got to plant every 100 feet and all that sort of thing.
So it's 20 feet everywhere now, including ag.
Yeah.
It's still
30, I think, of ag, too. That never got deleted.
Or did the 30
It depends on the process it's going through, because if it's a cluster development, then it does require the 30 feet and then a 50-foot buffer. In this case, it's a standard subdivision, so the 30 feet doesn't apply, but the 20 foot does.
So against those existing lots where there are houses on there, it's 20 feet is required.
Yeah. Yes. So if they came in with a brand new plan, you know, this had been just never approved before, it wouldn't have the 30, and it would have 20 feet all the way around the whole thing.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Now that doesn't have the 20 between him and that. So are you asking not to have to put the 20 in?
Correct. We're asking it to be basically reapproved the way it was approved back in 2000.
Oh, okay, so leave the 30, but don't make you put in the 20. I got it.
Right.
If you want to continue, go ahead, and maybe we can hold our questions until you're finished. Go ahead.
So I don't know if you want to add anything, Matt,
introduce myself for the record. I'm Matt Spong, 3204 Fire Tower Road, Felton, Delaware. I'm a landscape architect. My company prepared the buffer plan. We did change the two sides, the south and the east, to meet the current requirement for the appropriate number of trees and size. But when we got the plan, it was requested that it be submitted this way, because that's how it was previously approved, and that's the way that the developer would like to do it if there's no objections.
Okay. Do you have anything else? Just hang in there. We might have some additional questions from the commission. Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
Can I just ask one question first?
Sure.
Just as far as the plan goes. So I think I know this. So the lots along those existing residential lots, some of them are right at 3/4 acre, right? And so if you had to put that buffer in,
right,
you'd have to redesign the whole thing.
There'd be a lot of redesign.
A lot of shifting and everything else. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure I thought. Okay, sorry.
That's good, because I didn't understand that, so thank you. So this is exact same plan that it was in?
This is exact same plan.
So are the roads in this plan up to county requirements now?
Well, I might need her to come in on this again, Janelle, because when I spoke with her today, like she said, we have to go talk with Public Works. We talked with them prior to making the application, and they said, oh, no, you have to go and get on planning and zoning first and get their approval, and then you can submit some plans. They didn't want us submitting anything prior to planning and zoning.
Well, that makes sense, because they're so backlogged on the approved stuff.
So we're holding off on that, but when I spoke with Janelle today, she said really some of the stuff that just was instituted as far as geometrics and grading in the new code may have gotten approved after we submitted for the application. So what I'm getting at is we may be able to grandfather some of that old design and road width and street width and grading in Public Works. Am I right? Am I saying that right?
That is correct. This plan came in before the complete ordinance went into effect. So they would not have to comply with the complete new drainage and road standard requirements.
Okay. Is there any width changes or anything that they would have to do?
That is a question they do need to talk to Public Works about as to what, because a portion of the new ordinance went into effect at the earlier than the rest of it, and I'm not exactly sure where the road width fell into.
Okay.
And so that's why they were strongly suggested to talk to Public Works.
I know that the road widths that was originally designed were not 24. I think they were 18 or something.
Really, that shouldn't affect the approval of the subdivision one way or another, because they would have to do that between preliminary and final site plan approval anyway.
No, I was just wondering if that's going to mess up their lot sizes, which would then change everything around, because you were just saying. So that's why I'm curious.
That might open up.
Is this can of worms going to be open no matter what happens here? So,
and then if they do get preliminary and they run into that problem, then we may not see them back for final, or it might take them longer to come back for final, depending on if there's significant amount of change that needs to happen. But that would be up to the applicant.
Okay.
Again, if this is given preliminary approval.
Okay. I'm waiting to see if anybody has any other complaints or suggestions in the audience, but otherwise I'm good on questions.
Mr. Hopkins.
Okay, so your right of way or your only way into the development, is that a 50-foot right away?
Yeah, and the entrance that is shown there is built and accepted, and approved and accepted by DLDOT. So that entrance was put in, I believe, back when they did the minor. You have to kind of pardon me, because I was kind of brought into this. This wasn't my original design, but from what I've looked at and from what I know to this point, that was done, approved and accepted. And when I talked to DLDOT, they said, yeah, that was accepted. So that part of, the entrance was done and in already. So we would be tying into that and continuing on.
So those two existing lots?
They're built on,
So that's their way in and out as well?
I think that's where they go in and out now, yes. If I'm not mistaken. My memory serves me right. Yeah. Now the
I'm going to try to get to an aerial, so give me just a minute.
But yeah, there are driveway stubs here, and I believe those were what was on the plan, but I think if you look at Google Earth, they have entrances off of that road. That was probably required by DLDOT when they did that entrance. So we're not really dealing so much with DLDOT, their part, and it's really done. It's just Public Works with the private road portion.
So what about place for the kids to be able to ride their bikes and cars? Is there going to be a bike path or anything in there for the kids to be able to get around?
No, it wasn't in that design.
And how wide are the roads? Or are you saying that, you're saying, Vince, that's, it is whatever the standards are?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, whatever
Public Works will make up the quality of that.
I believe they're 18 or 20.
They would have had to have been 20?
Yeah, I don't think they're 24. I know they're not 24.
And that, again, is still a determination the Public Works will have to make.
I guess I don't have any more questions.
You can always come back if you think of one. Mr. Hudson.
I'm good, thank you.
Mr. Wheatley.
Just a couple and a couple of observations, none of which you're going to like. This was originally approved when?
It was
14 years ago?
Well, it was approved August 28th, right, of 2003.
And how long do you have after approval to get underway? 3 years?
You've got 3 years from preliminary to get final, and then 5 years after recording final, plus the extension.
And then we extended 5 years beyond that. So we've already had 14 years to get it done the way it was originally designed. And I would be interested to hear if there's anybody from the public here, because the whole reason we adopted, or a reason we adopted a full perimeter buffer, was to provide some protection for the very people that don't have it on this plan. Which are the lot owners on that
on
edge
the county
there.
Roads, yeah.
Yeah. Now, also, I'm sure that stormwater regulations have changed a little bit in the last 14 years, and I would be reasonably certain you're going to be completely redesigning that.
No.
Not really? Really?
No, because it was originally green technology design, believe it or not. They're both infiltration basins, which... You know, when I talked to Elaine, she said she didn't think it would be a problem to get this thing reapproved through the variance process. Because it's basically green technology. You got swales in there. It's basically everything that they're looking for in the new stormwater regulations. So that, I wouldn't say so much, is going to be an issue.
Tell us more about what you're proposing in lieu of a 20-foot buffer to protect the lots that are already there.
You were talking about that, right?
Right.
As far as the concessions that we can make in saving some of that?
Well, one option that we offered in the variance request letter, I don't know if you have a copy of that or not, if you look at the aerial photograph, I don't know if you can zoom in on that. I don't want to touch this thing because I just came here.
Yes.
There's quite a few existing trees. They're actually fairly large, like 14, 16 foot. Most of them are red cedars, which is a native tree along that area. And the developer offered that since there's a building setback line, is what, like, it varies between whether it's a side or a front, I mean back, depending on the lots on Benson Road, it would be a side setback, and on the other frontage road, it's behind that. What's the road at the top?
Jefferson.
Is like a 20-foot setback. So they could build to not disturbing those trees that are already there, and it offers some buffer. And if you can... can I zoom in on this without messing it up?
You're going to zoom in, and you're going to get the older aerial.
It's going to get the old aerial, right.
Yeah. That's what I said. There's like three or four lots where the surrounding people already have kind of a buffer established. Those two that you had your arrow in there, right here. You have these two there, and then there's one over here that also goes right there.
So what is it? What is it you're proposing to do again? You're going to leave
the existing trees and the building setback lines.
Okay. All right. Well, if all your other design criteria really isn't going to change, then I would hate to see this, you know, be the reason you have to change your whole program. But I'm very interested to hear if there's anybody from the public here, because that's the whole reason we go through the process we
sure.
go through. I mean, I was here when this was originally approved, so,
yeah.
I mean, and it's nothing personal or anything like that, but it's 14 years old. And things that have changed for a reason since then. But let's hear what everybody else has to say, and we'll see if we can get it figured out.
It's been a while since I've been down here, but I think I do remember you. I was down here for Dr. Speaker years ago. It's been a long time.
His hair was a little thicker then?
Yeah, maybe. I had more of it.
We'll just hang loose. Ms. Walls, any questions?
I don't have anything.
Ms. Caldwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robinson?
Yeah, just a couple. So, looking at the original approval from 2003, I mean, I'm just trying to track it through. So, there's been some changes. One of the things was, looked like there was an issue about drainage or runoff. There was actually, the standard condition says, you know, that the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. But then there was a sentence that we didn't put in every one, which was no drainage or runoff from the land that is the subject of this application shall flow onto adjacent properties, which led me to believe there must have been some concern about water sheeting over on adjacent properties. But there was another sentence, in addition, the stormwater management ponds shall not be located along the perimeter of the project. And it looks like you've got area number two in the middle, but it looks like area number one's tucked behind the Shea property.
Technically, that's a separate parcel of land.
All right.
I know.
I don't know, but that was the intention, but all right. And it looked like that. Was the entrance relocated? Because there was talk about Randall Sharp's property and relocating the entrance from up on Jefferson Road to Benson Road. Looks like that was done. I guess that must have all been resolved.
Oh, you mean, yeah, I think they were there was talk at one point to put a second entrance in there or put the entrance through those two lots.
Okay.
And then they finally, I think they just, I don't know if they subdivided them after that discussion was moot or if before that. I'm not.
That's what I was, because it talks about, I think those two lots being, having frontage from Jefferson Road. Okay. Well, I was concerned about the stormwater management since it's talking about the perimeter. It seems like it's still in the perimeter because that's the perimeter along
The other one's kind of in the interior, but
yeah.
The second one, or the first one, is kind of partially on the perimeter.
So how is the stormwater managed? Oh, okay, I see.
It's all groundwater recharge, which is in accordance with what you want in 99-9 in the code, So.
You okay, Mr. Robinson?
Yeah, I am. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay, take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has any interest in your application.
Did you say you did get TAC comments?
Yes.
We got comments from...
At what point do we get those?
We'll get them to you if you didn't get them.
Because I didn't receive them. I don't think Steve did or anybody.
A lot of times they just go to the file, so you just got to, keep an eye on the file, too.
We'll get them to you tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine. I just didn't know.
Okay, have a seat. We'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Is anyone here like to speak in favor of subdivision 2017-7? In favor. Anyone like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2017-7? Okay, there you go.
Hello, my name is Blake. I'm Blake Fletcher. I own the property right on Jefferson Road. My first question is about the grandfathered in. If it's expired, how is it continued to be grandfathered in if they didn't do anything?
Well, that's sort of the concern. So there's not any grandfathering at this point legally. I mean, it's expired, so it's done. And so they had to reapply for the new subdivision, under the current standards. They've asked for a variance from the buffer requirements that would be adjacent to your property. The conversation about grandfathering, though, had to do with the street width, because that ordinance just got adopted
recently,
within this past year, and so there was a provision in that ordinance, if you had your application in before a certain date, you were grandfathered under the old street design standards. So that, that's not anything specific to this plan, it's just a timing issue.
Okay.
Christine Fletcher, which I work for the county, and I know several of you here, and I want to say that we're not really in imposing. We have more questions than anything. I'm actually representing my other son, Jacob, who's in Connecticut working, and he owns the property on Jefferson Road, which is right next to the two properties that they said were at one time in consideration for the entranceway off Jefferson Road. And his concern was that the buffer on their plans, it shows that it only extends up to that parcel that butts up to his property, and it doesn't come all the way to the end of the subdivision. It kind of stops right at his, that he kind of leads him out where he doesn't get any buffer at all from the subdivision, and whoever builds on that piece kind of has a site right into his property. Our boys were fortunate enough to just buy two pieces of property, and they're going to build one day, obviously. But he would just have that question of how he would get any type of buffer from the subdivision. And another question that he had was, what was the proposal for the two pieces of property that is still under the developer's name that is on Jefferson Road? If that makes sense.
Yeah, those are the ones, these out front, they're already approved as a strip lot, probably.
Correct, and they are not part of this subdivision application.
Okay. So what does strip lot mean?
It means they've already been approved. It's called that just because it's along the road frontage, so you can subdivide off lots along a road frontage.
It's the same way your lot and your other son's lots were created. They're just right off the road.
So okay. They could be sold to private owners.
Yes.
And not be part of this.
Right.
Yeah. They are not proposed to be part of this subdivision.
Okay. Is there a restriction on the size of the homes that's being proposed at this time?
There, not now, but there was originally. And honestly, I don't recall. It talked about a minimum square footage for all homes of at least 1,500 square feet. I will tell you that that's probably the only time I can recall the commission really ever dealing with home sizes, you know.
Just because of curiosity reasons, their property, their restriction is that they have to have 1,400 square feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's going to be less than that, then that would reduce their property value.
They would have to be single family, but
yeah. Is there a size? Was there a size restriction on the?
There was originally.
There was,
yeah.
And I think that was the issue then.
Yeah.
Was that the surrounding homeowners wanted it to be consistent with whatever they were required to.
Well, it seems to me if we're going to be consistent with the old plan on the buffer, and I'm not saying you are, and I'd be consistent on the restriction of the square footage too.
We can put the conditions on the subdivision.
Yeah.
Well, or you can simply put the same restriction on a new approval too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's special.
You know.
Okay. We're just looking over our questions.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Go ahead.
No hurry. Take your time.
And will there, being that it's a subdivision, is there a homeowners association that will be?
There will have to be that, yeah, because there'll have to be a homeowners association that maintains the streets and the stormwater management areas and open space and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yep. And restrictive covenants and the whole thing.
I think that's pretty much all the questions we had.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question if I could, just to be clear about this. Is it your position that you would prefer for there to be a buffer behind your lots?
Speaking on behalf of my youngest son, Jacob, yes, his concern was that it kind of leaves him out in the open. So if that meant extending that out just to give him some type of buffer. So
I just wanted to be clear.
His is the one like the
yeah, right there.
Yes,
exactly.
That's that one. Okay. All right.
So the buffer, because it was an ag buffer, stops at his rear lot.
Yeah, stops right there. Yeah. Okay.
So that just kind of left him out there in the open to see whatever his neighbor's going on. So.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's good. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Please. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Jerry McLam, and I had every intention of just coming here and listening to how this operation works. But I wanted to thank you all for taking consideration and looking at this very thoroughly. We do have agricultural land that joins this. We have 70 acres, my brother and myself. So we are concerned about the agricultural buffer that's back there. We're concerned about the drainage that's going to affect our agriculture land. And Mr. Wheatley was right. This area has changed within the past 14 years. There is now a development across the road, not too far from this present development. I've lived in this area my entire life. I was out there the other day. Benson Road is a small country road. It's not a road that can endure all the activity. You're going to have cars coming from this 28-acre development. Each home at least has 2 acres. You're coming out to a road that has corn growing on each side, so the visibility is not the greatest there also. I believe the buffer, when you talk about the buffer, is not big enough for the back of our ground. You know, you see what I saw when I was there the other day, houses all around, and then in the middle of all the houses, there's a field that was not developed in this development at that time.
Which one is your parcel, ma'am?
It's the big yellow. You know, these things are hard to read.
I think it looks like on the map it's the one on the bottom, because it's the William field. Carpenter,
yeah,
and
right there.
Jerian,
yes,
and McLamp.
Yes, that's
the one.
I looked it up, and it's 70.5 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what we have joining back there. And that is foreign land. So when you talk about a development, joining up to, I have nothing against developments, please don't take me wrong, I don't. I just have a concern of the foreign land being next to that and all we're going to be doing to that in that development. So I'm going to tell you I'm opposed to it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing no one stand, anyone else on the commission have any questions? Ms. Wells? Ms. Cornwell?
No, thanks.
Mr. Robertson? Okay. We're going to close the public hearing, and you're welcome to stand in the evening with us tonight, see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next